exalted him, God also. The name of Jesus is the name of God in the New Testament. The name of Jesus is the name of God in the New Testament. The name of Jesus is the name of God in the New Testament. And the name of Jesus is the name of the family of God in the New Testament. So in the natural, when you are born into a family, you are named by your father. The name of the father is the same name he gives to the child. So that when we mention the child's name, we know which family he's coming from in the natural. In the same way, when we mention Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ, we know which family he's coming from. We know the name of his father by reason of his name. Then we know the name of the Christian by reason of the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. So we've been given a name. We've been given a name. Hallelujah. It is the name of God that he has given to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has also handed it to the church. Shout hallelujah. So he says the same honor that we give to the Father is the same honor that we give to Christ Jesus is the same honor that we give to the church. Shout hallelujah. Is this not powerful? As I read this scripture, I didn't want to talk about this one, but as I read the scripture, I said, this is powerful. To personalize it and say that the same honor that belongs to God. See, the word honor means reverence. It means prize. P-R-I-Z-E. Prize. It means to put value upon something. So it says, the same prize, the same value that we put on God, it's the same value that we put on Jesus Christ. And it's the same value that we put on the Christian. We are people of class. Hallelujah. We are people of value. The Christian is a person of value. The Christian is a person of class. Why? Because it says the same value that we put on the Father is the same value that we put on Jesus. And it's the same value that we put on the church. So we don't value God the Father than the church. That's what he's saying. He says that we don't value Christ Jesus than the church. The same value we put on Jesus Christ is the same value we put on the church. So the same value that you put on Christ Jesus is the same value that you put on yourself. Because you're a Christian. Shout a big hallelujah. Is this not powerful? I am valued in the sight of God. I'm not just anybody. No. As I walk in the streets, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter where I'm going. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. As I walk in the streets, in the sight of God, in the sight of God, in the sight of all principalities and powers, I am a person of value. I am a person who is more valued the same way God is more valued. I am a person who is more valued the same way Christ Jesus is valued. My value is not dependent on where I stay. My value is not dependent on the work that I do. My value is not dependent on what I'm wearing. No. Hallelujah. My value is dependent on the Father. Shout hallelujah. So my value is not dependent on where I'm staying, what I have or I don't have now in the natural. No, that is not my value. When I begin to see my value from that perspective, I'm seeing wrongly. And that's why I'm teaching you so that you see rightly. Shout hallelujah. So that I put value on myself the same way I put value on God. The same way I put value on Jesus Christ. The same value on myself. I don't see myself lesser. No. I don't see myself disadvantaged. No. I don't put value on myself because of the education where I've reached. No. Or how where I've gone to and all of that. No. I put value on myself based on Christ Jesus and the Father. Shout hallelujah. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke quickly. Bali Kaso Dala Mahasin de Leveko Shaka. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Quickly. Bali Gadoshe Veleko Si Kala Masaya. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Maligadosh falakatakasitai.
Luke chapter 10, verse 22.
Are we all open to Luke chapter 10, verse 22? Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Shall we read all read together? One, two, go. Did you read that? It says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Shout hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus. He says, no one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father. That was before Jesus' resurrection. So he was speaking to the people and said, all things are delivered to me, they are given to me by my Father. Then he says, and no one knows the Father except the Son. So he was saying that I'm the only one who knows the Father. I'm the only one who is known by the Father. So no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Then he said, and to anyone that the Son will reveal. So it means that we know the Father by revelation. The Son has to reveal the Father to us for us to know him. Or the Son had to reveal the Father to us for us to know him. That was his responsibility. He says, no one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father. Then he added, what did he say? Quickly. You can see it from the word. To whom what? The Son will reveal him. So it is the Son that reveals the Father to us. So we know the Father and we know the Son by revelation. We know the Father through the Son. Are you following? We know the Father through the Son. The Father knows the Son. The Son knows the Father. But we know the Father. We know the Father through the Son. How? By revelation. So it is the Son that reveals the Father to us. Or is the Son that has revealed the Father to us for us to know him. It means that if we are in Christ Jesus, we know the Father and we know the Son. Oh, you are not following. Are you following? It means that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are born again, you know the Father and you know the Son. By revelation. Who did that revelation? The Son revealed the Father to us. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means that if we know the Father now because we have believed in the Son, and the Son has revealed the Father to us, and we know the Father through the Son and by revelation, it means that we know the Father, then we know the Son. Now, if we know the Father and we know the Son, it means that the Father is not a mysterious person to the Christian. The Son is not a mysterious person to the Christian. It means that God is not mysterious to the Christian. But God is mysterious to the world. Shout hallelujah. So God is mysterious to the world, but God is not mysterious to the Christian. Why? Because we have come to know the Father and the Son by revelation. That also means that if God is mysterious to the world, the Christian is a mystery to the world. If God is mysterious to the world, then the Christian is mysterious to the world, or the Christian is a mystery to the world. The Christian is a mystery to the world. Shout hallelujah. Why? Because the Father, what makes the Father mysterious? He has done what? Given it to the Son. And the Son has given it to the church. Are you following me? What makes God mysterious? He has given it to the Son, and the Son has given it to the church. What made God mysterious? He has made the Son that way, and he has made the church that way. So the church now is a mystery to the world. Because he has received from God what makes God mysterious. How? By sight and by fellowship. So last week I was explaining on fellowship that by fellowship we are taking part, we are sharers of whatever God is, whatever Christ is. Because of that, we are what? Partakers of the mysterious aspects of God. Shout hallelujah. So Christ Jesus is a package, or is a package of the mystery of God. Because we belong to Christ and we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we are also what? The package of God's mystery to the world. So to the world, we are mysterious beings. To the world, God is a mysterious person. But to the church, God is not mysterious. And to the world, the Christian is a mysterious person. He's a mystery to the world. We are mysteries to the world. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means that the secrets of God were handed to Jesus. And Jesus handed the secrets to the church. So the church is the package of the secrets of God. The Christian is the person of God's mystery. He is the package of God's mystery. Who is the Christian? Shout hallelujah. Who is the Christian? The Christian is the person of God's mystery. Write it down. And the Christian is the package of God's mystery. The Christian. He is the person of God's mystery. He is the package of God's mystery. The Christian. He is the person of God's mystery. He is the package of God's mystery. So whatever was mysterious to with God, for which we said he was mysterious, is what, that which he has given to the Christian. Did you hear that? Whatever was mysterious about God, or that which was with God, for which we said he was mysterious, is the same things that he has done with, handed it over to the church. To be mysterious as he is mysterious. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you understand that? Now let's go to 1 John quickly. Let me explain it from that place. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Quickly. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1
John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
Listen, are you following? 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Have you all opened? Shall we all read it together? 1, 2, go. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it, see, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So the Father has loved us, and he said we should be called. Shout hallelujah. We should be called the sons of God. Do you know what that means? That word called them means we should be named and surnamed the sons of God. So the Christian is named and surnamed as the son. See. Are you following me? It means that when God looks at the Christian, he says, this is my son. And the Christian looks at himself and say, I am named and surnamed as the son of God. He wouldn't function. Because there is such a thing as functioning as a man, and there is such a thing as functioning as the son of God. There is such a thing as knowing yourself as a man and knowing yourself as the son of God. So it says, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, bestowed upon us, granted us, that we should be called, we should be named and surnamed the sons of God. Then he said, because the Father has loved us and has named us his sons and surnamed us his sons and has called us as his sons, he says, the world does not know us. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, the world does not know us. He says, the world does not know us. The world does not know us. They don't know us. They can't recognize us. They may call you the same name they call you. They can't recognize you. Because the world does not know us. That shows that we are a mystery to the world. If the world does not know you because you are the son of God, it means that you are a mystery to the world. They don't know you. They don't know what manner of person you are. Oh, Lamade Shakata. They don't know what kind of person that you are. They don't know. They don't know you. So when we begin to cast out sicknesses out of our bodies, they say, ah, who are these people? What are they doing? They don't know what we are doing, but we know what we are doing. We know that we are doing what our father does with sickness. You didn't get what I said? I said, we know that we are doing what our father does with sickness. When we begin to address demons to leave, it's because we know ourselves as sons of God. They don't know. They will say, ah, why are these people doing this? Why do they do this? All these things, they are lies. Why do they say that? Because they don't know us. So they don't know what we are doing. So the world does not know us. They don't know why we should say, come out, you devil. They can't even see the devil. Shout hallelujah. They can't even imagine that there's a devil around. No, there's no such thing as devil to them. But because we are sons of God, we know what we see and we know what we are able to do as sons of God. So it says, because of that, the world does not know. Because they don't know us, we are a mystery to them. Shout hallelujah. So the Christian is a mystery to the world. Why are they praying like this every day? Maka, 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 maka. What is wrong with them? Maka, 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 maka. Why are they saying that? Because we are a mystery to the world. They don't know what it means to speak in tongues. They don't know. They don't know what it means to speak the language of God. They don't know that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries. They don't know. So when we begin to speak, Marco, what is wrong with these people? Is something wrong with them? Do you know why? Because they don't know the church. We are still unveiling ourselves to them. We are still unveiling ourselves to them. Shout hallelujah. So it says to reveal. What did he say? That the Son will reveal the Father to. It means to disclose, to reveal, to disclose the Father to. To disclose the Father. The Son discloses the Father to us. Now we disclose the Father to the world. And we disclose the Father to ourselves. Shout hallelujah. To reveal, disclose. To disclose. It means you open up. Something is closed, you open it up. So we are opening God up to them. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 quickly. Malaga daka shakaha. Mali goes keteli voroski pala kosanda. Bali shaka. Quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Have we all opened to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1? Quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Have we all opened to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Maladaka shaka da bakasa. Shall we all read it together? 1, 2, go. Oh, I heard just three voices. Shall we all read it out together loudly? 1, 2, go. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ, as servants of Christ, as waiters of Christ. The word minister means a waiter. You go to a restaurant, you call a waiter. He says, we are waiters of Christ. What does the waiter do? He serves in the restaurant. So the word minister means waiter. It means to serve Christ. That doesn't mean to serve Christ. We are serving Christ. To serve Christ as to wait upon. So you meet somebody, you serve Christ to the person. Shout hallelujah. But it says, let everyone account of us as ministers of Christ and as stewards. Stewards of what? The mysteries of God. As what? Stewards. Who are we? We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Did you see that in the Bible? It says, let men account of us. Let them see us as stewards of God's mysteries. we are stewards of the mysteries of God. It means that the mysteries of God are with us. You cannot be a steward of what is not with you. A steward means an overseer, a caretaker. It means a manager. The Greek says that a house distributor. Shout hallelujah. So let them account of us as what? As stewards of the mysteries of God. As caretakers. It means the mysteries of God are with us. We are taking care. We are taking charge of the mysteries of God. We are stewards. We are managers of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God are with the Christian. And the Christian is a steward of the mysteries of God. A manager, a household distributor. It means that somebody who takes care of the house and distributes the items of the house and the jobs in the house accordingly. So he says, you come and take this soap and go and scrub this place. You come and take this and go and give to this person. He's a household distributor. He says, we are household distributors of the mysteries of God. God has entrusted the Christian with his mysteries. He has entrusted the Christian with himself. And has made him a household distributor of those mysteries. So it is the Christian that distributes the mysteries of God. It is the Christian that distributes the mysteries of God. It's the Christian that is managing the mysteries of God. If the mysteries of God are with the Christian, then the Christian is a mysterious person. So the Christian is a mysterious person stewarding the mysteries of God and unveiling them. So let a man so account of us. So the Christian is a mysterious person stewarding the mysteries of God and unveiling the mysteries of God accordingly, distributing them accordingly. Shout hallelujah. Let a man so account as stewards of the mysteries of God. So God's mysteries are with us. So God's mysteries are with me. They are not with God. We are not now knowing the mysteries of God with God. No. The mysteries of God that were with God have been handed over to Christ, and Christ has handed over them to the Christian. So there is nothing mysterious about God to the Christian. Even the body of God is the body of Christ and is the body of the Christian. So even if the world wants to know what is God's body, they should come to the church. Why? The body of the Christian is the body of God, which is also the body of Christ. So even the body of God is not a mystery. It's not mysterious. Why? Because God resides in this body. And our body is his body, and his body is our body. So when we come, we are showing forth God's body. So if any man in the world says, I want to see how God's body is, they say, see me. See me. I am God's body. I am Christ's body. Go to the book of Ephesians quickly. Let me shock you there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, quickly. And someone should open Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, quickly. Malagadaga shakadahash. Maligos kodolivoko shaka. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, quickly. Balagadagadaya. Are we all open to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20? Shall we all read it together? 1, 2, go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse what? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. Have you all opened to Ephesians chapter 5, verse No, let's just read the 30. 28 to 30. Let's read the 30 quickly. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30 quickly. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Who is he talking to? We. Who are the we? The Christian. For we are members of his flesh, or of his body, and of his what? Of his flesh and of his bones. Members of his body, members of his flesh, members of his bones. It says we are. We are members of his body, members of his flesh, members of his bones. Whose bones? Christ Jesus. So we are members of his body. We are the one who display the body of Christ. We show the world that this is the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. So we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Say, I am a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we have received all the mysteries of God to the point that even his body, we have received it. Did you get that? Shout hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Ephesians quickly. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 to 10. It's very important. It's very important that you understand that we have received the mysteries of God. We have been made the mysteries of God to the world, such that even our body is his body. Even his body is not a mystery to the Christian. His body is our body. We are custodians of his body. We are custodians of his body. That means that, what does that tell us? That tells us that we cannot use our body for anything because it is his body. It means that we can't go anywhere that we like with our body because it is his body. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means you can't just do anything with his body. You think it's your body? No, it says it's my body. For you are bought with a price. It says, therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which belongs to God. So your body belongs to God. It is for God. It's for Christ. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it also means that we don't use this body for anything. Misuse the body. No. We are not supposed to go anywhere just with the body. When we are going, we should know where we are going. Why? Because this body is the body of Christ. So we do not use the body of Christ for anything. That will not edify us. That will not build us. No. We can't go to club with this body. Because this body is Christ's body. So we can't go to club with Christ's body. We used to think that this body is our body, so we can use it for anything. He says no. The reason why we should take care of this body is because it belongs to Christ. So you take care of this body. The reason why sin and sickness must not reign in your body is because the body belongs to Christ. It's not your body. So that you can use it for anything you want. No, it is his body. And this body is what shows the world that Christ has a body. Are you following me? So if you use the body for anything, how do you explain to the world that this body is the body of Christ? So sin and sickness don't reign in this body because the body doesn't belong to sin and sickness. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Christ. Shout hallelujah. So we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Shout hallelujah. Quickly go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Quickly. Verse 9 to 10. Have you opened Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 to 10? Shall we all read it together? 1, 2, go. Oh, Lord Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Did we all read or some were just... Now, who has the King James? Oh, you have the King. I want you to read it quickly. You've always been reading. Let someone read it from here. No, without microphone, just shout it out loud. No microphone, shout. Uh-huh. And to make all men see. Uh-huh. The first one is, and to make all men see. What are they seeing? What is the fellowship of the mystery? I explained this one last year. The fellowship of the mystery. Uh-huh. Continue. Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things. He says that which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, but now has been revealed. See, when Paul was talking, it had been revealed. So Paul had been given the assignment, the commission, to make men see this mystery. So it means that now we can see the mystery. It used to be a mystery in God from the beginning of the world or before the foundation of the world, but now it's no longer a mystery in God. Oh, are you following me? Why? Because Paul said that now he had commissioned, when he was talking, to make all men see this mystery. And that mystery is Christ. So Christ was the one that was in God before the foundation of the world as a mystery. And Christ had been revealed. He had appeared. So he was no longer a mystery. Paul was given the commission to make all men see Christ. If the mystery is Christ, and Paul said God has sent him to make all men see this mystery, which was hid in God, and was referring to Christ, then it means that at the time that Paul was writing, the mystery had been unveiled such that all men could now see the mystery. How many of you understand that? And because all men could now see the mystery that he was talking about, and then he says, to make all men see, what is the fellowship of this mystery? So, to see and to fellowship this mystery, or be part of this mystery, which was Christ. Should we read it again? Open it up again. Let's read. Now, quickly. 1, 2, go. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 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 Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The manifold, but go to the verse 10. I want us to just finish the verse 9. To make all men see. We should have started from maybe verse 1, but because of time. But it says to make all men see. What is the mystery of this? What is the what? The fellowship of this mystery. To make all men see. So, Paul was saying that God has sent him to make men see. To make men do what? See. What is the fellowship of this mystery, which was with God, in God, before the world began? So when this mystery was in God and with God before the world began, it was a mystery. By the time Paul was talking, that mystery that was in God had been unveiled. That mystery is Christ. So Paul said that how by revelation it was made known unto me. When you start from verse 1, because of time, we can't go into all of that. And last year, I took my time to explain that, the mystery of Christ. Shout hallelujah. But then, he says that to make all men see what is the fellowship, the participation of this mystery. So to make men see, to see, and to fellowship this mystery. And the mystery is Christ. Why? From the beginning, God wanted Christ to come. Let me just explain it to those who are not here. So God had hid something in himself, a mystery. Paul calls that a mystery because it was hidden from everybody. It was only known to God. And that mystery was that Christ was going to come. Because God had hidden it, Paul calls it a mystery. God had hidden the fact that Christ was going to come. But at the time Paul was talking, Paul the Apostle, how many of you know about Paul the Apostle? Know about him? At the time he was talking, Christ had already come. You understand? So the mystery, that which God had hidden in himself, had already been revealed. It was no longer a mystery. It was a revelation. He had been revealed at that particular time. He had come to do all that he wanted to do, and he had left. Then God calls Paul. Paul, come. Now go. Let all men see and to fellowship with Christ. Let them see Christ and let them have a fellowship with Christ. The word fellowship means a participation. It means sharing. So let them also share a part in Christ. Let them be able to see Christ. How? By teaching, by preaching the gospel. Let them see Christ and partake of Christ. Shout hallelujah. How many of you understand that now? Now let's go to verse 10 quickly. Quickly. Mm-hmm. Quickly. Jennifer, read it. Mm-hmm. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church what? The manifold wisdom of God. It says, to the intent. To let them what? Fellowship this mystery. To the intent. The purpose is. So that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly place. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly place. Might be known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. This is powerful. Do you know what that means? It simply means that the church was going to show principalities and powers what the wisdom of God is. That to the in, who has the NIV? Who has the NIV? You have the NIV. Shout it out, Leticia, quickly. Yeah, verse 10. Yeah. Through what? Oh, you people are not following. Are you following? Read it again. His intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities. So the rulers and authorities would know the wisdom of God from the church. Through the church. Oh Lord God. Do you know what it means? It means that the church is and has the wisdom of God. So, because the church has and is the wisdom of God, it is the church that will make known this wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities in heavenly place. That tells us that the wisdom of God is with the church. And the wisdom of God is one part of the mystery of God. The wisdom of God. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And so he says that the wisdom of God is with the church. And the church has the responsibility to do what? To show rulers and governors and authorities in heavenly place what this wisdom is. It means the wisdom of God is not with God, it's with the church. And the church has been entrusted with a responsibility to show forth this wisdom. Then he says, when the church shows forth this wisdom, then rulers and principalities will get to know what this wisdom is. If the church does not show forth the wisdom, the rulers and governors and authorities in heavenly places wouldn't know what the wisdom of God is. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the wisdom of God is with the church. The wisdom of God is no longer with God. It is with the church. Shout hallelujah. The wisdom of God is one of the mysteries of God. It's wisdom. God's wisdom is not with God, it's with the church. And this wisdom that is God's wisdom that is now with the church is with the church so that the church will make principalities and powers know what this wisdom is. It means principalities and powers don't know what the wisdom is until the church shows them what this wisdom is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly. Verse 6 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16. Maybe I'll just close with this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 16. But I want you to read it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 to 6. I want you to follow me. I'm talking about the wisdom of God as one of the mysteries of God. That is now with God. Hey, that is now with the church. So because the wisdom of God is not with God and is with the church, we can now explain to people what the wisdom of God is. We can explain to angels. We can explain to principalities and powers, angels and demonic beings, what this wisdom is. Angels don't know what the wisdom of God is. Demons don't know what the wisdom of God is. But the church knows. We don't only know, we have it. So it is mysterious to demons and devils and angels and men. But it's not mysterious to us because we have the wisdom of God to the intent that unto principalities and powers should be made known by the church. By the church. By who? He didn't say by God. By the church. The NIV says so that through the church, through what? The church. So through the church, we know the wisdom of God. You are God's wisdom. You didn't hear what I said. The wisdom of God is in you. You are the wisdom of God. Say, I am the wisdom of God. Say, the wisdom of God is with me. Say, the wisdom of God is in me.
The wisdom of God is in me.
The wisdom of God is at work in me.
The wisdom of God is at work.
I do not lack wisdom.
I do not lack wisdom.
Why? See, I told you something when I explained about about mystery. What did I explain? Mystery. The mystery of God. And I said that when we say you have received light, it means that you have access to the mysteries of God. I said that. The first time I explained this thing. I explained that when it says that the kingdom of God is no longer a mysterious thing to the Christian. So it supposes that we have access to the wisdom of God. We are the wisdom of God. We have the wisdom of God. See, in Christianity, whatever you have, you are. That's a principle. In Christianity, whatever you have, you are. So, we have Christ. How many of you know that we have Christ in us? How many of you know that we are in Christ? It's a principle. Because we are in Christ, we are as Christ. That is why it says, for as he is, so are we. In Christianity, you have life. You are life. Why? He has designed it that way. That when the appearance of the Christian is the appearance of God's life, for instance. So, if you have the wisdom of God, you can write it down. It's a principle. Whatever you have in Christ, you are in Christ. It's a principle. It's a spiritual principle. Whatever you have in Christ, you are in Christ. So, if you have the wisdom of God in you, you are God's wisdom. Why are you God's wisdom? Because when you enter any place, you enter as God's wisdom. Anybody who is not born again over there is not God's wisdom and doesn't have God's wisdom. But when you enter, you enter with God's wisdom and as God's wisdom. So they want to find out what the wisdom of God is. It is with you. Shout hallelujah. How many of you understand that? So when it tells us that the wisdom of God, it is with us. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 explains that one a little bit. The wisdom of God. Quickly, go back.
Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 6 to 16. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them.
Do what?
We speak wisdom.
Who was talking, Obed?
Paul.
Paul, the apostle, was talking. Now listen, what does he say? Howbeit we do what?
We speak wisdom.
Oh, loko sadili makaya. Are you following? Howbeit we do what?
We speak wisdom.
No, the way you are quiet, why are you hungry? Howbeit we do what?
We speak wisdom.
Howbeit we do what?
Wisdom.
We speak wisdom. We do what?
We speak.
Who is doing the speaking?
Me.
Who was talking? Paul the apostle. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom. It's not God speaking wisdom. It is we speaking wisdom. Why is he speaking wisdom? Because the wisdom of God has been entrusted to him as a steward. Steward of the mysteries of God. Steward of the wisdom of God. It has been entrusted to the Christian, to Paul. And he said, howbeit we speak wisdom. We do what?
We speak wisdom.
Continue.
Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Them that are perfect is talking about the church.
Yet not the wisdom of this world.
Not the wisdom of this world. One.
Nor of the princes of this world.
Nor of the princes of this world.
That come to naught.
That come to naught. So he says, we speak the wisdom of God, or we speak wisdom among those who are perfect. He's talking about Christians. Then he says mature. It's the same. Why? Because the Christian is perfected in his spirit. When he's born again, your spirit is made what? Right. So he says, we speak wisdom among those who are perfect. In other words, what I'm speaking right now is wisdom among those who are perfect. I'm speaking wisdom among those who are perfect. Then he says what? Continue.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
In a mystery, no. Come back.
Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of
yet
this world.
Not the wisdom of this world. So Paul was saying that we speak wisdom. But the wisdom that we speak is not the wisdom of this world. You understand? I want you to follow this because we are reading from verse 6 to 16. So I want you to take it from verse 6 and understand.
Nor of the princes of this world.
Nor of the princes of this world. So he says, even though we speak wisdom, the wisdom that we speak is not the wisdom of this world. And it's not the wisdom of the princes of this world. It's a wisdom among those who are perfect. So he's telling us there are three kinds of wisdom here from where we are reading. One, the wisdom that we speak among those who are perfect. Then the wisdom of this world. Then the wisdom of the princes of this world. But we don't speak the wisdom of the princes of this world. Neither do we speak the wisdom of this world. What wisdom do we speak? The wisdom among those who are perfect. How many of you understand that? Now continue.
That comes to naught.
That comes to naught.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
But we speak. So the wisdom of God is for speaking. We speak. As we continue, you understand? The wisdom of God is for speaking. He says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It means that he's saying that when we speak the wisdom of God, it's in a mystery. We speak the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We speak the mysteries of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is a mystery, and we speak it. It's a mystery to which people, to the people who are not born again. It's a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to the princes of this world. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It means that the wisdom that we speak is unknown to the princes of this world and to the world. The wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Continue, brother. I don't have time.
Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
The hidden wisdom. So the wisdom that Paul said we were speaking, which is the wisdom among those who are perfect, he said that it's what? A hidden wisdom. It was hidden. But God ordained such a wisdom unto what? Unto our glory. So the wisdom of God is beneficial for our glory. So if God is not a mysterious person to the Christian, and the wisdom of God is not mysterious to the Christian, but belongs to the Christian, then it also means that that wisdom of God, we have access to the wisdom of God for our glory. For what?
Our glory.
And God set this wisdom apart from the foundation of the world. In other words, when God started creating the world, let there be, he had set this wisdom apart.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Are you people following me? It means that it is the wisdom that God had separated, put aside from the foundation of the world until this time. And now he has given us the privilege to have access to this wisdom. So he says that which God hid, which was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. Is it in your Bible?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Is it in your Bible?
Yeah.
Okay, read it again.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Which God ordained before, which? After the world. Before the world. So before the world began, God had ordained a wisdom for the church, which was his wisdom unto our glory. So the wisdom is for what? Our glory. It means the more wisdom of God that you are able to access from within you, because the wisdom is with you. Or how much wisdom that you are speaking is how much glorious, or how much glory you would experience, or how much glorious you would become. Why? Because the wisdom has been ordained when? Before the foundation of the world, unto my glory. That wisdom had been ordained before the foundation of the world unto my glory. So the more the wisdom of God that I am operating in, the more glory I experience. The more the wisdom of this world I operate in, the more... Shout hallelujah. Obed, continue.
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
He says, this wisdom of this world, which God ordained before the world began, none of the princes of this world. That is why in Ephesians chapter 3, where we read, he said that so that we will make known, the church will make known this wisdom to which people, to the principalities and powers, because they don't know this wisdom. Who knows the wisdom? The church. Oh, Kalamasita. What a life. The wisdom of God. Continue, Obed.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because of their ignorance, they crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know that their crucifixion of the Lord of glory was a display of the wisdom of God. They didn't know that God had ordained that this man was going to die for the sins of the whole world and be raised again, so that men could have life and to walk in authority over the princes of this world. They did not know. The wisdom of God that was hidden to them is the reason why they killed him. But when they finished crucifying him, the wisdom of God has now been given to us. Hallelujah. Unto our glory. Oh Lord Jesus. Continue, Obed.
But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him.
The things which God has prepared. Oh Lord Jesus. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it done what?
Entered into the heart of man.
The things which God had prepared for them that love him. I have not seen. See, that is Paul. Do you know what he's telling us? He is telling us that we are talking about the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is that which God had prepared for those who love him. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. I've missed it. Read it again. So we are saying the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? It is defined there. Simple.
I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that
the
love him.
The things which God has done what?
Prepared
for those who love him. Who are those who love him? Those who are born again. That's what it means. The love there means, that statement actually means that those who are born again are those who love him. You cannot love God unless you are born again. You cannot be known as somebody who loves God until you are born again. Because you can't love God out of human love. You can love God out of his own love. So the Bible says that he has done what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It is that love that we use to love him. You can't love God by your human love. God, I love you and be crying. You're wasting your time. You love God. You love God where? From within. The Christian love is a love from within, not a love from outside. That is why somebody can say, I love you, and disappoint you. It was just outside. The real love he was talking about was not an inside one. If he had loved you from an inward love, which is the love of God, he would not disappoint you. Love doesn't disappoint. Now we continue quickly because of our time.
But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
But God has done what?
Revealed.
So what is the love? What is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God are the things. When we say the wisdom of God, the things that God had prepared for those who love him. He calls that the wisdom of God. They are the things. I've shocked you right now. The things that God has prepared, he calls that the wisdom of God. Then Paul says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into any man's heart. These things. So these things were with God only and in God only. So that no eye has seen it, no ear had heard, no heart had received it. You understand? This wisdom, which what he refers to as the wisdom, is the things that God has done what? Prepared for those who love him. He calls that, those things, the wisdom of God. He calls those things the wisdom of God. So if I have not seen ear heard, neither has it entered into any man's heart, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, then what has he done right now?
But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
God has done what?
Revealed.
He has revealed them unto which people?
Unto us.
Unto which people?
Us.
Are you part of the us?
Yes.
But God has done what?
Revealed them to us.
Who revealed it?
God.
How did he reveal it?
By his Spirit.
By his Spirit. This is simple. God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. The things that were hidden in God, the princes of the world did not know. What are those things? The things of God that he had prepared for those who love him. The princes of this world did not know about it. The world does did not know and does not know. And the princes of the world did not know and still does not know. And would not know unless we show them. You understand? But then he says that, but God has revealed them, unveiled them, disclosed them. But how? But to us by his Spirit. This is what the princes of this world did not know and do not know. They didn't know that the wisdom of God was for God to take all his things, himself, including his things, and hand it over to all those who will believe in Jesus Christ. They didn't know after his resurrection. They didn't know. Are you following? I'll continue, Obed.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
So he says, he has revealed this wisdom, these things, unto us. He has revealed them. He's not revealing them. He has done what?
Revealed
them. Oh, Lord Jesus. If he has revealed them unto us, it means that he's no longer revealing them. We now know the kingdom of God. We now know these things. Then he goes further to explain.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
For the Holy Ghost, that's what?
Searcheth all things. Uh-huh. Yea, the deep things of God.
Oh, hallelujah. He says that God has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Then he says that for this same Spirit of God searches all things. Yea, even the deep things of God. So, continue. Let me just explain all together.
For what man knoweth the things of a man?
Now, you see what he's explaining. What man knoweth the things of a man?
Uh-huh. Save the spirit of man which is in him.
If what is he saying? Paul, come in. Today's the camp. If Paul stands up, today's the camp. Paul, you can sit down. Yeah, today's the camp. Now, what does that mean? It means that he says that no one knows the things of this person except the spirit in this person, which is her, what is called the inner man, or her spirit. So man is a spirit. How many of you have heard that before? So he says that it is only Thodaisi spirit that knows the things of Thodaisi. It's only her spirit. She can tell you things. It will not be true. Shout hallelujah. So it means that she can tell you things which are not true. Why? Because she can tell you things about herself which are not true, because she may just be saying them to you to make you happy. You understand? But the only way we can know that what she is telling us is really true is by her spirit. So if you enter into the office of the prophet, there is what is called descending of spirits. That you know to see people's spirits and what they are thinking about. The gift of descending of spirits. Use it to see angels, demons, and human spirits. You see into the realm of the spirit. It's descending of spirits. Shout hallelujah. Then he says that, stand there to that, continue. So he has told us that it is only the Spirit of God who searches the things of God, even the deep things of God. But when it comes to man, his spirit knows the things of him or of her. But in that same manner, the Spirit of God knows the things of God, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of God. And he says that the Spirit of God, what he does is to search the things of God, even the deep things of God. What does the Holy Ghost does? He searches the things of God. So he knows the things of God. Even the deep things of God are known to the Holy Ghost. In that same way, the deep things of man are known to the Spirit of man. Now continue, Ben.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man.
The things of God knoweth no man.
But the Spirit of God.
But the Spirit of God. So it means that the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, because he is the Spirit of God, he knows the things of God and knows the deep things of God. And these things, which are the things of God or the deep things of God, is the wisdom of God. Or these things are the wisdom of God. How many are following that? They are the wisdom of God. And it's the Holy Ghost who knows these things of God and the deep things of God. So he's striking the difference between the spirit of man and the spirit of God. And now the spirit of man knows the things of man, and now the spirit of God knows the things of God. Now, have you followed that? Let's continue, Ben.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
Now you can sit down to that. Talk to us.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
Now we, which people?
Christians.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Are you in this house?
Yes.
If you are in this house, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you are following me closely, I'm not even those who are following me from afar. Those who follow me closely, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, now, Obed, continue. Let me just explain.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
But the spirit which is of God.
It means that if anyone receives the spirit of the world, what will he know?
The things of the world.
The things of the world. If anyone receives the spirit of man, he will know the things of that man. In other words, if Obed's spirit comes to reside in me, I will know the things of Obed automatically. And even the deep things of Obed. You understand? Then he says, now, we have not received the spirit of this world. We have not done what?
The spirit of this world.
Because if we receive the spirit of the world, all that we will know are the things of the world. But Paul says, no, we the church, we have not received the spirit of this world.
But the spirit which is of God.
But the spirit which is of God.
That we might
so
know.
So that we might do what?
Know. The things that.
So that we might do what?
Know.
So we have received the spirit that is of God. The spirit of God. We've already read that the spirit of God knows the things of God. One. And knows the deep things of God. Then it says, we have not received the spirit of man. Neither have we received the spirit of the world, but we have received what spirit? The spirit of God. Now, if we say I. If I have received the spirit of God, then it means that I do what?
I know
the things of God. And the deep things of God. Why? Because I have received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And it is the Holy Spirit who knows, searches the things of God and the deep things of God. And I have received this same person into me. So the things of God and the deep things of God are not hidden to me.
Hallelujah.
That is why God is not mysterious to me. That is why God is not what?
Mysterious.
Because what makes him mysterious is with the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost has carried all those things and has come to reside inside me with all those things. As long as I live in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost lives in me, all these things and the deep things are with me.
Hallelujah.
It says, this is the wisdom of God that the princes of this world did not know. So when they were crucifying Christ, they said, we have finished him. We have finished him. But in God's wisdom, he had ordained it unto our glory. In other words, he knew that after they had finished with the Christ, He would be raised up back to life. And by that resurrection and our identification with him. So we believe in Christ Jesus, we are saved. We are identified with Christ. He is now seated on the right hand of God. What are the scriptures? They say we are seated with him. We are walking on this earth, he's walking with us. He says the princes of this world did not know that after that, God will send his spirit to us so that we will now be possessors of his things, even his deep things, by reason of the Holy Ghost in us. So the devil did not know and does not even know. All angels do not know, but we know by sight and by fellowship. That the things of God are with the Christian. Even the deep things of God are with the Christian. How? Through the Holy Spirit that is in us. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the things of God are with the church, the Christian. Continue, Ben.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom
which
teaches.
Things that now that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God has freely given us things. Free for free. Why? He has freely, for instance, the Holy Ghost knows the life of God. He knows the power of God. He knows the authority of God. He has brought all those things which were of God. Or which are of God. They are of God. They were of God. He's done what? He's brought them into us. So that we might know these things. So we know the things of God that the Holy Ghost has come to us with. We know them. Then he says, and we because of that, we do not speak what?
Which things also we speak.
Which things also we speak. We who are the ones doing the speaking? We are speaking them. We are speaking the wisdom of God. Right now as I'm talking to you, I'm speaking the wisdom of God. This is a wisdom. You see, when you read the Bible, when it talks about a mystery, we speak in a mystery. What he was saying is that we speak, it's like you are making an esoteric statement. It also means that there is this word I want to use, I don't want to use it, but I'll use it. There is a word we call recondite. When we say something is a recondite, it means that, or a statement is a recondite, it means that when you read the statement, you can't understand it ordinarily. You can't read, for instance, if you are in a mathematics room and you're not used to mathematics and they are saying 2 times 2 plus 2 plus x plus x plus x, it's recondite to you. You can't, by just watching the board, you won't see what they are talking about until they explain it to you. It's an exclusive knowledge. It is not known to everybody. It's not known to everybody. But it's only known to which people? To the ones that belong to the group. So if a group decides that, for instance, if you are not a poet and people write poem right now and they give it to you, you look at it and say, what is all this thing they are saying? It's the poem will be recondite to you. It will be like an esoteric statement. It's not something you, by looking at you understand. But a poet can just read and say, this one he said means this, and this one he said this means this. Until you belong to the group, you cannot understand it. So until you belong to our group, you can't understand the wisdom of God. So if anybody enters here and is not born again, all that we are saying is like Chinese movie. Shout hallelujah. Now continue, Ben.
Quickly. Which things also we speak.
Which things also we speak.
Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches.
Not in the words which man's wisdom. He's talking about all kinds of wisdom. Man's wisdom teaches. But what?
But which the Holy Ghost teaches.
Which the Holy Ghost teaches. So the Holy Ghost has brought the things of God and teaches us the things of God so as to know the things of God. And that's what he's doing right now. He's teaching.
Hallelujah.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things
but
of the Spirit of God.
Man, the natural man. When the Bible calls somebody a natural man, it means the person is not born again. He says, the natural man does what? Receiveth not the things where? Of the Spirit. The natural man, the one who is not born again, does not know the things of God. It's not revealed to him. He cannot even receive them because they are foolishness to him. So what is foolishness to the world is wisdom to us. That is why the world says, ah, why would these people be speaking in tongues? It is foolishness to them. Why is that when they just enter the church, they begin to speak in tongues? At least something has happened before. See, people say that. They say, why is that we just enter now? They started speaking maka maka. If it's a you have to climb. Why are you climbing to? You understand? Why do they say that? Because these things are foolishness to them. Why would we lay hand on a sick person? Why would we command demons? Because why would we do that to the world? This is foolishness. Spending your whole time, what are you doing? What will you get from this? They think that what you get, they follow what your life by what you get from what you are doing. They say, what do you get? They don't know that when you put joy on somebody's face, you've blessed the person. You've gotten something. When somebody is sick, dying, spent his or her whole life savings on sickness, on the verge of death, and a Christian enters the place, not a man of God, and says, come out of this body, leave, and the person leaves. They say, what will you get from this? They don't know that you are a blessing to somebody. You are not. I said it when I started. The value of your life is not dependent on how much things you are just getting. No. How much joy you give to somebody. Hallelujah. So it's not just how much things I'm getting. I have this. Possessions. It says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That I told him, I said, listen. If the whole world, all of us leave the world to you, we say, take anything you want, all the cars, all the banks. You will just be 150 when you are child. You will leave the bank and the cars, all of us, all of these things behind. You will just be going. You will leave. The value of your life is not on the things that you have. The value of your life is dependent on how much joy and smile that you put on somebody's life, somebody's face, how you improve somebody's life, how somebody can say, because of this person. I remember one man of God died and we were at the funeral and the people were crying and they were mentioning him and they were saying that Asem Tuwe Adenebeye. Why? The man had blessed them, the man had left. They were now wondering, now that the man had left, if something happens, who will we go to? He was a blessing. He was a blessing. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Continue, Ben. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. The word know means that neither can he understand or assess them. So the things of God are accessible to us. I explained that, I think, the first time I talked about this thing. They are accessible. That is what it means to know God by sight. It means that you are able to assess the things of God. They are with you. You assess them from your inside. You pray, say, how should I take here? Should I take here? The things of God. The Holy Ghost says, take here. You know what you should do. It's not mysterious. Say, God is not mysterious to the Christian. Say that again. Say, God is not mysterious to me.
God is not mysterious to me.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You want to know all the things of God? I didn't write the Bible. It's there. It says what? All the things of God are with the Holy Ghost. And this Holy Ghost is staying inside of me. And I am staying inside of him. What does that tell me? I have access 24/7 to all the things of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Robert, quickly.
For they are foolishness unto him.
For they are foolishness to him.
Uh-huh. Neither can he know them.
Neither can he know them.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
Because they are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Uh-huh. Yet he himself is judge of no man.
Uh-huh.
For who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Mm-hmm. But we have the mind of Christ.
Read the last verse again. Let me explain.
Hallelujah. For who had known the mind of the Lord?
Known the mind of the Lord.
That he may instruct him.
That he may instruct him.
But we have the mind of Christ.
We have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind. How do we have the mind? By the Holy Ghost. Now let me explain. Some people think the reason why I'm explaining this thing is because I've heard people say that we have the mind of Christ. And what they actually mean is that they have the mind as in the soulish. Soul, mind, will, emotions. So we have the mind of Christ. They think he's talking about our minds have the mind of Christ. That's not what he's saying. Or some people even think that it means that our mind is the mind of Christ. You understand? Or the mind of Christ is in our mind. That is not what he is saying. When he says we have the mind of Christ, he's not talking about our mind. Listen very carefully. If we have the mind of Christ, we wouldn't have to renew our mind. He wouldn't tell us that we should renew our mind. He wouldn't tell us that we should renew our mind if we have the mind of Christ. He wouldn't tell us that we should renew our mind if we have the mind of Christ. And he wouldn't tell us about the things we should think on. Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. He wouldn't tell us because we already have the mind of Christ. So what he's referring to when he says we have the mind of Christ is simple. It means that we simply have access to the mind of Christ. It means that the Holy Ghost has come to stay inside us with all the things that we would want to know about Christ. And through the Holy Ghost, you know what Jesus said? He said that this Holy Ghost that will come, he will not speak of himself, he will speak of me. And he will not teach of himself, he will teach the things that belong to me. So the Holy Ghost, he has come into us with the things of God. He has come into us with the mind of God. You want to know what God wants you to do about this particular situation is with the Holy Ghost. He is the mind of God in us. So what the Holy Ghost tells you to do at every particular time is the mind of God, is the mind of Christ. How many of you understand that? So the Holy Ghost, so when we say we have the mind of Christ, doesn't mean that we have the mind, our mind. How should I even put it over? The mind of Christ is in our mind. No. Rather, the mind of Christ is with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the mind of Christ. In other words, through the Holy Ghost, any kind of revelation you want about your life is with the Holy Ghost. From God, from Christ, is with the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost, what you should do or not to do is with the Holy Ghost. You want to know it from God. God, what should I do? That information is with the Holy Ghost. So the more you pray in the Holy Ghost and you are receptive to the Spirit of God, the more you know, you are able to assess. You are able to decode. You are able to do what? Decode. And assess the mind of God concerning every situation and concerning everywhere, every decision, direction. They are all with the Holy Ghost. That is why he says that those who are born, they are led by the Spirit of God. Where is he leading you to? He's leading you into the things of God. Where is he guiding you to? He's guiding you into the things of God. They are with him. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the mind of God is not this. We have the mind of God. We have the mind of God. And they think they are talking about their minds. No. He says renew your mind. So as for your mind, you have to renew it. But the mind of God is with the Holy Ghost. The mind of God is what? It's with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is where? It's here. Inside me. So if I want to know anything about my life, if I want to take any decision, and I want God to talk to me. Any decision I want to take now or tomorrow, the answer is with the Holy Ghost. And all the things about God that I would like to know is with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is able to teach us anything you want to know about God. Anything. So he says, but we have the mind of, and you see, he says, who has known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? So the mind of Christ is for instruction. So the more you know the mind of God, the more you are instructed in that way. The more you know from the Holy Ghost the life of God, the more you are what? Instructed in that way. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So God is not mysterious to us. We have received the Holy Ghost. We have the things and the deep things of God in us. The world does not know us, and we are mysterious to the world, and God is mysterious to the world, but God is not mysterious to us. How many of you understand that? Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So all the things of God are with the Christian. How many of you understand that one too? All the things of God are with the Holy Ghost in the Christian. And the Christian lives in the Holy Ghost 24/7. When you sleep in the Holy Ghost. As you are sitting down, you are sitting in the Holy Ghost. And all the things of God and deep things are with the Holy Ghost who is in you. Think about it. It means that whatever I want to know, don't want to know anything, is with the Holy Ghost. I want to understand what is the life of God, what is the power of God, what is the authority of God, what is the glory of God, what is the righteousness of God. They are all with the Holy Ghost. All the things which are of God. That also means that all the things that belong to God are with the Holy Ghost in us. So what is it that is of God that you need? They are not with God, they are with the Holy Ghost in you. God has given them to the Holy Ghost who searches him. You see how simple it is? We don't know about the Holy Ghost. The more the church understands this great person inside of us, the more a lot of great things will be happening in our lives. This Holy Ghost. We want to distribute the things of God. House distributors. If you are not here earlier, you understand house distributors. If house distributors want to distribute the things of God, they are with us. So we distribute the things of God which are with us in the Holy Ghost. Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you have been blessed tonight? So if somebody say God is not mysterious, say, God is not mysterious, what do you think? All the things that God is doing, you to know, is lying to you. People say that God is so, things happen and they say, God is so mysterious. You cannot understand him. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Next week I'll teach you something from 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. It's very, very important. If you don't come early, you miss it. Now I started 6:30 sharp. Very important. I want to teach you something about this thing about people saying that God is mysterious and some FK, they say, you don't know. Maybe God is just punishing. It's a lie. There is nothing that happens in this world that the Christian, about God, that the Christian does not have access to in the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Ghost or through the Holy Ghost. So God does not kill young children. We say God has killed the child. Then they say, God is mysterious. You can't explain God sometimes. So let's just leave it to God. No. How many of you have heard that before? Things happen. So let's just leave them to God. These are mysterious things. God is the only one who can explain. One day when we get to heaven, it's a lie. Oh, it's very important. Because, listen. I'm not playing. See, because with those statements, they deceive Christians. So, you begin to think that you are powerless in the face of things like that. If you know I'm powerless, at the end of the day, it's God who has decided. We cannot challenge God. It's a lie. We are not challenging God. But God has given us what we need to have in order to be able to assess anything that has to do with him, the Holy Ghost. So it is not God's will, according to the scriptures revealed to us by the Holy Ghost, that somebody should die at the age of 10. And we say, this is mysterious. Somebody just says, headache, the person dies. So it's mysterious, don't worry, when we get to heaven. It is a lie. Those are the reasons why I teach you these things, not just because of the money you can get in your workplace or the jets that you want to buy, no. So that you can master things by knowledge. See that, what does it say? For lack of knowledge, my people perish. So there is nothing like mysterious. This thing there is so mysterious. I don't know why this is mysterious. And men of God even say that. That is not true. It is not, there is nothing mysterious about God. There is nothing that will ever happen in your life that you don't have a hand in it. Why am I saying that? Because when you understand the things of God, you know that you chart your life by what you say. You begin to command things in place. That's why I say we speak the wisdom of God. We keep speaking. I speak to my child. I speak to my car. I speak to things. I don't just sit down and cross my legs. They say, when he had an accident, he died. They say, oh, that man of God died in an accident. God is mysterious. He is not mysterious. God did not go to 1 Timothy right now. Let me use 3 minutes to explain this thing. 2 minutes. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Let me just finish this one in the next two minutes. Then we can pray.
2 Timothy chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 9 to 10. Uh-huh. Who had saved us?
Who had saved us?
Uh-huh. And called us with an holy calling.
Look at the mystery. We are talking about the things of God. One thing of God that we know is the life of God. We know the life of God. We don't only know the life of God. We are the life of God. We have the life. We know the life.
We are the life.
We are the life of God. So somebody wants to know what is the life of God. It's with the Christian. The Christian coming is the life of God coming. Jesus said, I am the life. Why? He had the life. The life of God is the life that God lives. It's the God kind of life. It's the kind of life that God possesses as God. And because we are his sons, he has given us that kind of life. How many of you know what I'm saying now? So it means that the life of God is not mysterious to the Christian. It's mysterious to the world and to the devils, the princes of the world and principalities. But it's not mysterious. It is not hidden to the Christian. Why? Because the Christian has it. We have it. And then the Holy Ghost has come into us with this life and explains this life to us. And one major explanation is what we are coming to read. You understand now? Read it. You talk about the glory of God.
2 Timothy chapter 9, chapter 1, verse 9 to 10.
Uh-huh.
Who has saved us?
Who has saved us?
And called us with an holy calling.
And called us. Number one, he has saved us. How many of you are saved here? He has called us. How many of us are called here? Uh-huh.
With an holy calling.
Uh-huh.
Not according to our works.
Not according to our works.
But according to his own purpose and grace.
But according to his own purpose and grace.
Which was given us in Christ Jesus.
Which was given us in Christ. Uh-huh.
Before the world began.
Oh, this before the world began is powerful. It was all the men that lived. They all lived. They didn't know any of these things, but we know them. From Adam to John the Baptist. But before the world began, the things that God hid before the world began are the things we are talking about. Continue.
But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Who had abolished death.
Uh-huh.
And had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Have you opened your Bibles? What is this saying? This who has abolished death and has done what? Brought life and immortality to light. I've closed. Next week, I'll start from this place. To be continued. Those who came early, they've received so much. I started at 6:30. Now it's 8. Can you imagine? Shall we please be outstanding? So, the time, 1 hour, something minutes. I don't want to push something you can't receive now. I want you to receive. But this is very powerful. And this, through this one, I explained all these things about, especially when people die, they say this is mysterious. It is not any mysterious. Earthquakes, they say it's God is causing earthquakes. God doesn't cause earthquakes. It's a thief coming to kill, steal, and to destroy. Those are three agendas in his constitution. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. So God is not in destruction business. One day the disciples said, they were going somewhere and the people said that they won't allow them to go. Then they told Jesus, should we call down fire on this one? Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit that you are. Spirit of God. Now, we are going to pray for the next 20 minutes. I don't stand there. I want you to move. Hallelujah. I don't want you to stand at one place. What I want you to do is pray. So what you are going to do is that you are going to pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, you're just going to lift up your hands and just thank God. Bless the name of the Lord. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, this is what I want you to do. Number one, you are going to pray. Anything that has delayed, when I come with topics like that, I know what I'm talking about. Anything that is has delayed or is delaying, you are expecting this thing to happen and it's delaying or it has delayed. What you are going to do is to pray in the Holy Ghost and call it forth. When you call Obed to come, he will come. That is the same way when you call anything that has delayed to come, it will come. You understand? So you call them. Don't say, oh, this is I'm calling. Number two, this is what other people do. Maybe, see, somebody is supposed to help you or do something, and a person is delaying. You are going to do what? Pray. When you pray, listen to this. You pray. On the person's heart. Do what? Impress on the person's heart. So that if they are supposed to call you, they will call you.